Chapter 33. Sheriff's Office.
"We've evacuated all of Chandra Boulevard," said Tessa. "Both floors. I sealed every hatch and bulkhead I could, but the... whatever it is pretty close to breaking through the first one."
Jake raised an eyebrow across the table. "Seriously?"
"Yeah."
Callie rubbed her temples.
"Can we see it?"
Tessa swiped at the desktop. An image popped up, and she flicked it up on the big screen.
"It's right where you left it."
The camera view was from the above right. The creature smashed at the emergency doors again and again. It braced itself with the two shorter tentacles and hammered the largest one against the barrier. Each blow made the camera tremble.
"Do you want sound?"
Tessa said.
"I can do that."
"Don't tell me it's talking," said Jake.
"No, it's not making any sounds at all."
"Nothing?" asked Callie.
"Nothing I can hear. No vocalization, no breathing. Nothing. It's kind of creepy how quiet it is."
Tessa tapped her fingers on the desk.
"Also, we got a distress signal from Lazarus Base. Not we, us, but Luna City. A general signal. They're being attacked now, too, by zombies."
Callie frowned.
"But not Pluto. They're next closest, right?"
Tessa's tapping became a steady drumbeat.
"I don't know. If Pluto only sent out calls on official channels, the system wouldn't let me see them. Gordon only deputized you two. And Ismi."
"Speaking of which," said Jake, "shouldn't we get someone official?"
He looked around the small office.
"There should be somebody else here, right?"
"I think we're it," Callie said. "I don't think there's anyone else official left."
"Davis?"
"She's a doctor, not a deputy."
"We're not deputies," said Jake.
"Technically,"
said Tessa,
"you are. You're in the system as such."
"Then shouldn't the system have promoted one of us to sheriff?"
"Maybe it promoted the other guy,"
Callie said.
"The one on his tri-monthly."
"Ogawa?" asked Jake.
"Yeah. I think Ogawa's a woman,"
said Tessa.
"Whatever,"
Callie said.
"They're probably on Earth right now trying to figure out why they're sheriff of the moon, and we're stuck up here dealing with that."
"Yeah," said Jake. "So, either of you have an idea what it is?"
"I think it's really weird,"
said Tessa.
"It doesn't look like any animal I've ever seen before, and I've studied a lot of living things."
The three of them stared at the thing on the screen.
"What if,"
Callie said.
"Yeah?"
"What if it really was a brain? The meteor." "A brain?"
echoed Tessa.
"We looked at it for a minute back on Anubis,"
Callie explained.
"It had lots of wrinkles and folds, like it was part of a big brain." "How big?"
"Big."
Jake stretched his hands out. He dipped his head at the desktop.
"Guessing probably the size of this console if it was whole."
"Are we talking about aliens?"
asked Tessa.
"As in, first contact with alien life? Just so we're all on the same page."
Jake stared at the thrashing creature on the monitor and shook his head.
"Well, it's not like anything I've seen before either."
"Exactly,"
said Callie.
"What if it wasn't dead? What if it was only, I don't know, hibernating, sleeping?"
"If it was part of a brain," said Jake, "which I'm not sure I believe, it's still just part of a brain. It's a petrified lump of gray matter. It's not asleep, it's dead."
"A lump 4 or 5 times bigger than all of our brains whole in one piece."
"So?"
"So maybe it doesn't work like we do. Maybe it wasn't dead. Maybe being a petrified lump is its natural state. Hell, maybe this is how it reproduces."
Callie pointed at the screen, guiding Jake's eyes back to the creature.
"And you think the brain's behind the zombies, too?"
Tessa said, less a question, more of a statement to be contradicted.
"It reanimated them somehow."
Fucking hope so, said Jake. If not, it means we've got two different things to deal with.
A serious question, then. Why?
Why what? Callie asked.
Why all of this? If that thing raised all the clients, what was it supposed to accomplish?
Tessa pointed at the screen.
This, I can understand. I mean, sort of. It looks like it's trying to grow a new body by absorbing people, biomass. But what are the zombies for?
Jake reached up, adjusted his cap.
If we're going to go there, why didn't it just use all the zombies for biological material? It was outside with them for, what, almost a day?
On top of Anubis, said Callie. They're not coordinated enough to reach it. They can undo spacesuit seals, said Tessa, but they can't climb a ladder. That hasn't made much sense since this all started.
Maybe because they're frozen, Callie said.
Absorbing them would be like trying to eat frozen meat. You need to let it thaw.
That's a horrifying idea, murmured Jake, glancing back at the screen.
So again, Tessa asked, why use them at all, and why's it doing all this now? It was at Hades and Eron. Why'd they get overrun by zombies and not a big tentacle brain monster?
Maybe it never got brought into the base, Jake said. Maybe the kid Mendez left it outside while he had it at Eron.
But you didn't,
said Tessa.
You and Callie brought it on board Anubis, and it didn't try to absorb either of you.
Maybe it needed more space, Jake asked. Maybe he was still waking up or thawing out.
Callie looked at her hand.
We never touched it.
What?
Jake looked at her flexing fingers. Yeah, you did. Callie shook her head.
I had gloves on. Gilliman was probably the first person to actually touch it in, who knows how long, centuries? Millennia? Maybe longer,
said Tessa.
If it's coming from another world, it could have been drifting in space for millions of years.
Callie crossed her arms.
That's what it needed. Life. It can't use the dead. Then what are they for? Why make zombies it can't use for anything?
Except kill us, said Jake.
But isn't that counterproductive?
Tessa asked with a scowl.
If it needs living bodies, all killing us does is cut down on its resources. What else is it going to use?
The bees,
said Callie.
I bet that's where the bees were going.
Okay, said Tessa.
But if it can control the dead bodies and it can control the bees, why isn't it controlling us? Why didn't it just make everyone here in Luna City march into Gilliman's room and pile on?
Good point, Jake said.
Maybe,
Callie began.
Maybe because we have minds?
Jake raised an eyebrow.
Everything it's controlling is borderline mindless at best. Brain dead or barely conscious. Insects. Dead people. Maybe that keeps it from controlling us because we have, I don't know, thoughts? Free will? Consciousness?
She shrugged.
Does it really matter?
Maybe, said Jake.
I think we need to focus on stopping it. Like Tessa said, there's still a couple hundred people here for it to eat if it gets out.
As if on cue, the creature slammed itself against the emergency doors again. A red light flashed on the console.
It's broken the seal,
said Tessa.
It'll probably have the section open in another 2 or 3 minutes.
Jake's mouth became a flat line.
Great.
The next section's sealed too, but it's got a lot more vents and a service tunnel.
Tessa swiped at the desktop and pulled up a diagram of the street.
Lots of different ways for it to get out.
Callie turned to Jake.
This is kind of your field of expertise, right? Killing things?
The words made her gut twist as they slipped out between her lips.
I mean, you're a Marine, right?
His cap almost hid the eyebrow he raised.
Yeah?
He said, shifting his gaze to the big screen.
but gotta be honest, this is pretty far beyond that field. If I had something bigger than a pistol, maybe, but...
Callie looked around the small office. Wouldn't Gordon have some weapons around somewhere?
Just things with taser shells. Can stun a human for a couple minutes, but going after something that big?
Jake shook his head.
Be like hunting a dinosaur with a pellet gun.
What if we just open the whole section up to vacuum?
Said Callie.
We can do that, right?
Tessa nodded.
Yes, an emergency purge. It's for crisis containment in case of severe fires or outbreaks, like a zombie plague.
Jake coughed out a dry laugh.
Not sure it'll do anything, though.
Why not?
This thing's been outside for days with no problem. All a purge will do is make it easier for the zombies to get in.
But it's alive now,
said Tessa.
I mean, we're assuming that, right? Vacuum might kill it.
Might kill it? Definitely we'll let the zombies in. As pro and con lists go, a little heavy on the con for my taste.
Any better ideas?
Asked Callie. Jake studied the blueprints, his finger stretched out to a small red icon.
What's in the fire suppression system? Anything we can poison it with? Halon 4, maybe?
Tessa shook her head.
It's all manufactured to be human safe. If it won't hurt us, I don't think it'll hurt something made out of us.
On the screen, the creature delivered another massive blow to the doors. A large chunk of Lexan broke free from a window and skidded down the hall. The doors came apart, and one of the tentacles forced its way into the gap to thrash in the new hallway section.
Is it bigger?
Callie asked.
The tentacles look a little longer.
Jake studied the big screen.
Maybe it's redistributing its weight?
Or maybe it found something else to eat,
said Tessa, adjusting the tiny spring clips of her pince-nez. Callie looked back at her.
Like what? Maybe someone slept through the alarm, or they left their pet dog or rat family behind. Maybe it ate a bunch of houseplants. It makes plants die. I don't understand that either, but... I'm not an exobiologist. I didn't even take any of the classes. I think it's bigger,
Callie said,
and I still vote for shooting it out into vacuum.
What about fire? Jake tapped the map. Could we boost the O2 level in that section and spark it somehow?
Tessa rolled her eyes.
The average lunar structure has about 1,000 safety protocols in place to make sure that can't happen.
Could you work around them?
I mean literally 1,000. It'd take weeks if we were lucky.
On the screen, the creature forced the emergency doors apart. It slithered between them and let them crash back into position. The doors lopped 2 feet off one of the shorter tentacles. The creature didn't seem to notice the leaking wound.
I don't think we've got weeks,
Callie said. Jake studied the map.
How many more doors between it and us?
Tessa crouched next to him, ran her finger along a line.
4, I think.
She traced another path.
Less if it decides to squeeze into a vent, but maybe that'd slow it down.
Callie did some quick math.
If they all take as long as that one, at best we've got about 5 hours until it reaches us.
Unless we move everyone as far as possible from it, said Jake. Move them all into the far end of Gleddy, the repair shop and the gym.
Maybe. That'd give us another 4 hours. We could seal off Chandra Boulevard,
said Tessa.
Close the big doors there. That might give us a full day, though none of them was designed to resist an actual assault.
Callie looked back and forth between them.
How long to get an evac mission up here?
Tessa sighed.
Absolute best case scenario, Jake said. If there was a team prepped, ready, and standing by just as there was a slot open, they'd still have 76 hours on the elevator and a 9-hour flight to the moon. 3.5 days.
So even if Lana had contacted them as soon as we told her,
he gave a single nod,
wouldn't be here for another 2 days at best.
In the back of Callie's mind, she remembered Mikhail explaining how no one ever needed to rush for problems on the moon.
So we've got a monster in here trying to eat us,
Tessa said. And a zombie horde out there, trying to kill us.
Can't stay inside, Jake said. Can't go outside. Callie studied the map spread across the desktop.
So where can we go? I should contact Discorp, said Tessa. It would be good to know if there's actually a rescue mission coming, and if not, I can tell them they need to send one.
Jake pulled off his cap and ran his hand through his hair. Do they?
Callie looked up at him. What?
Just saying, this is an all-new game now with this thing here. Maybe having them send more people up here is not the best plan in the big scheme of things.
There's another carrier due tomorrow, Tessa said. It'll need to be diverted before it gets too close.
Callie nodded in agreement.
They can get killed by their cargo or eaten here in Luna City.
Tessa sighed and glanced at the screen. Her glasses magnified her wide eyes.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Callie followed her gaze up to the screen. She realized what was wrong just as Tessa blurted out the words,
It's gone.
The hallway was empty.